Here we go. But so get excited to do that, guys. It's going to be an awesome time. But it's great to be all back together. I'm excited to be sharing the lesson with Chelsea Leroy tonight. We're both excited to be preaching the word. And so get your Bibles out. Get whatever you use to take notes as we dive into the word of God together. And it's going to be an awesome time. But I want to start off by asking you guys a question. You know, we're continuing this theme of we the people, we the people. And we're talking about tonight about being the people of Christ. But I'm going to start off with a question that might sound like it doesn't relate, but we are going to tie this back in. So the question is, when you were a kid, who did you want to be when you grew up? You know, what was the kind of job, what was the kind of character or the person or the career that you wanted to do? You know, when we were all growing up, we were thinking about the answer to that question. You know, when I was 8 years old, I wanted to be a New York Yankee. I wanted to be like Derek Jeter. You know, I wanted to be like the Yankees that I saw play on TV. And I thought that they were really the cream of the crop, that these were the guys to be like and to really aim to imitate in life. And then really what I came to realize is that they're not all that amazing. You know, they can play a sport, but they're actually really flawed people. And players, you know, in that time started being caught doing steroids. And I realized, man, baseball, it's just a game. And these players idolized a game. A game was their God. And so that's kind of where I started of, you know, who I want to be. But then during high school, I decided I really wanted to focus on being like a well-known singer-songwriter. I wanted to be like a professional artist and make my way into the music business. And I wanted to be like an Ed Sheeran or a John Mayer. Not that I would be exactly like them because they're both incredible. But I wanted to kind of bring more like genuine music to the world, wholesome music. And I was inspired by how much my favorite artists or musicians influence people. And I wanted to play like them. I wanted to look like them. I wanted to talk like them. I even wanted to sing like them. You know, if you listen to some of my old songs, you might be like, who's he trying to sing like right now? It doesn't even sound like Mark. But I pursued that for a while. And, you know, my family supported me and shelled out money. And I really thought, man, this is going to change the world. This is it. You know, if I can just get this career. And at this time, I really hadn't decided to give my life to Jesus yet. But, you know, ever since I was a kid, I wanted to change the world somehow. And I really thought music was going to be the main way to do that. But then I realized during high school that all these musical artists were also lost. And they also needed God. And I saw that I needed God, but that they were really flawed people and that their lives were in shambles. And as I followed them, if I followed these examples, whether it be an athlete or a musician or actor, that I would follow them into a desert of sin and emptiness. But I still made it clear to myself and my parents that I wanted to make an impact somehow on the world because I knew that life was short. So then, after wrestling with that, then I met Jesus. And I was astonished. And the funny thing that I realized quickly is that he was just a man like all these other men, but he was perfect, that I could imitate him in every way. There was nothing about him that I didn't want to imitate in my own life. I couldn't say that about anyone else before. You know, he captivated me. He captured my attention. He made me feel more valued and treasured than I ever have before. He made me know for certain that I'm loved. He made me come alive on the inside. And he was everything I was looking for in a friend, in a coach, a teacher, a healer, and a role model. And not only that, but I came to see clearly in the scriptures that he is God. He is perfect. He is the Savior. He's the Messiah. He's the only solution for my sin. And he's the only way that I can be a part, remotely a part of changing the world. He's the only way that I could be a world changer. And so tonight, we're talking about this man, Jesus. We're talking about being the people of Christ, being Jesus followers, a call to discipleship. And I want to tell you that there's never been a man whose existence has changed the world quite like Jesus Christ. And I want to prove it to you here. You know, first off, our entire calendar is built around this guy's birth. I mean, every ruler and king is lived and dated in reference to Jesus. You know, Jesus, he also revolutionized the way we treat the poor and the way we treat outcasts. He changed the way we view and treat women and children. He changed education. So, you know, for example, the first universities like Harvard were made to train Christian priests. That's what they were designed for. That's what they were invented for. So even the beginnings of our modern education system is rooted in Jesus. We can thank him. You know, Jesus, he also changed medicine. His example of healing the sick has inspired thousands to start centers who take care of the sick and those in need. You may have heard of them. They're called hospitals. You know, Jesus never wrote a book, but the book of his life is the most translated and sold and, funny enough, stolen book of all time, which is crazy. You know, Jesus, he has the greatest impact and influence on architecture. You know, no one today has ever seen Jesus's face who's living, but he's the most recognizable face in all of art. We don't have any music Jesus created, but he has an entire genre in his name, which is gospel music. He didn't have any kids, but parents everywhere model his example to be better parents. Jesus never had a wife, but millions of men and women have studied him better to become better husbands, become better wives. You know, he took these 12 ordinary, really knucklehead guys, and he made them into the most powerful organization this world has ever known. That's a pretty good list right there in criteria. So we got education, politics, literature, art, music, business, parenting, social work. I mean, every aspect of human existence has been influenced by Jesus. And when Jesus met the one thing that has taken down every other human being, being death, he defeated that too by rising from the dead. He is why the universe even exists. He's why I'm breathing right now. He's why you're even alive right now. He's the answer to all the evil in our world. He's the maker of all of us. He is the Lord. He is Jesus. And so I don't know about you, but I'm honored to know Jesus. I'm honored to be a Jesus follower. And guys, tonight we're going to soak up Jesus. Amen. And so the title of our lesson tonight is I Know Him, which is a song title from the musical Hamilton. Some of you guys might be having that kind of part go off. Okay, I'll stop. But, you know, that's a pretty popular song from Hamilton. So we're going to talk to you about this phrase of I know him. There's a line in the song that says, you know, John Adams, I know him. But God wants all of us to be able to genuinely say, Jesus Christ, I know him. I have a relationship with him, and I'm one of his followers. You know, the goal of tonight's lesson is for us to all leave inspired by Jesus and with a stronger desire to fully devote ourselves to him, to his standard of discipleship. You know, we're going to dive into Jesus deeper tonight. And again, the aim here is just to be more amazed by him, to be honored to be his followers. And the way tonight's going to work a little bit is it's going to kind of be like having a quiet time together where we're going to read some scripture and get to know Jesus. And then we're going to take away some practicals on how we can know him better. So guys, turn your Bibles over to Mark chapter 1. I know I'm biased. Mark chapter 1. We're going to start here. I'm going to have the slides here as well. But before we jump in, I do want to ask a question to you guys. And that question is, are you amazed by Jesus? Are you amazed by Jesus? Does he just leave you speechless? And is he on your mind? Is he on your heart? You know, there's this a historian, Flavius Josephus. He's a first century Jewish historian, and he said this. He said, at this time, there was a wise man who was called Jesus, and his conduct was good, and he was known to be virtuous. And many people from among the Jews and the other nations became his disciples. Pilate condemned him to be crucified and to die. And those who had become his disciples did not abandon his discipleship. They reported that he had appeared to them 3 days after his crucifixion and that he was alive. So, okay, I just want to remind us all that Jesus, and especially if you're new here, that Jesus is rooted in history. I mean, guys, he's the real deal. We, outside of the Bible, have all these sources that show us the impact that Jesus made. And so the scriptures, though, the Bible does reveal God's nature, who this man is, and what it means to be his true disciple. So in the verses we're about to read, we're going to get to know Jesus, and we're going to get to know his authority here and his power and how he amazed those around him. So let's read here in Mark chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 21. It says, when they went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then, a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an impure spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly. "Come out of him." The impure spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching and with authority. He even gives orders to impure spirits and they obey him." News about him spread quickly all over the region of Galilee. Wow, so before we take a moment to break this passage down, I just want to throw out a practical for you guys for when you read scripture. And that practical is, when you read a passage of scripture, ask yourself, what did I just learn about God in this scripture? What did I just learn about the nature of God? Because when you look at Jesus in the Gospels, you're looking at God himself. So you want to ask yourself, how does this expand your understanding of who God is in his character and his nature? It's just a helpful thing for us to do when we read. But let's talk about this scripture here. This is pretty crazy. So this evil spirit knows Jesus, and he's scared. And he says, "You're the Holy One of God." You know, there's other human beings that are walking around, other people just seeing Jesus, thinking nothing of him, really. If anything, they might have just been really confused or looked at him as a rabbi. But Jesus, he encounters this spirit, and he displays his authority over this spirit. But I think it's interesting that we got to see here that, man, this spirit acknowledged who Jesus was. He had a respect for who he was. But obviously we see here, you know, he says, "Come out of this man," and the spirit shakes this man violently. But Jesus displays his authority in this passage, his power. And we get an idea of how in the spiritual realms Jesus is looked at with the example of this evil spirit. You know, the evil spirit in this passage knew who Jesus was, but do you know Jesus? Or does this evil spirit know and respect Jesus more than you do? His first thing to say was, "You're the Holy One of God." But how do you respect Jesus? Do you have a proper respect for Jesus as much as this spirit? Do you have a healthy fear and reverence and humility before the King? You know, that's what amazes me about this scripture, is that it just shows, man, Jesus has all the power. So why would we ever want to go against him? Why would we ever want to do life a different way besides with him? Jesus is definitely not someone that you want to be fighting against. And so I want to ask this question here of, how can you tell if you have a proper respect for Jesus. How can you tell that? Let's talk about this here. So here's some things that will maybe help you to be able to tell if you're struggling to have that proper respect. One is you don't pray to him with reverence and awe. You don't think about who you're praying to before you start praying, or you pray very little. That shows a lack of respect and reverence. You know, another sign is you keep sinning and hurting him even when you know it's wrong. That shows a lack of respect for Jesus. Another thing could be you don't humble out when the scriptures correct you or someone uses the scriptures to correct you. But instead of being humble and respecting the authority of Christ, you kind of dig in your feet. And so you got to think about that for yourself. How's it going just respecting the authority of Jesus and his power? You know, there is no one more powerful than him, but are you submitting to his power and authority in your life? You know, what's amazing about Jesus is that even though he's all, you know, the mighty God, the powerful creator, he's God in the flesh who can drive out demons. He created everything and can destroy it. He has all the power, but he's still so relatable, right? He's still so human. He's still so compassionate. He's got that really perfect magic mix that pulls people in. He's confident for sure, but he's gentle and full of love at the same time. You know, I love you guys that have read through the Gospels, you'll see this, but I love in the Gospels where there's one moment where Jesus could be like at someone's house for dinner. You know, people just saying, hey, come over, and they're laughing, they're having a good time, he's enjoying some free food. So there's one moment he's relatable, but in the next moment he could be like, oh yeah, and if you don't repent, you're all going to hell, by the way, and say, hey, have a good night. You know, he's just so like, he could do whatever he wants and people just left speechless, but he had that balance to him. And I think that's what's amazing about him is he had the authority, but he was smart when he was going to use it. And he was just so smart with his timing. But here's the reality, guys, is even though Jesus was the Son of God, he could drive out demons on earth, even though he was this powerful man, he needed the Father. He needed God. He needed to be connected to God. He was fully human, just like you and me. And so I'm going to turn it over to Chelsea here, and she's going to share about how we need to strive to truly know God and have a personal relationship with him. Again, we're talking about knowing him tonight. So I'm going to hand it over to Chelsea here to continue with this next point.
Hey, guys. Chelsea here. Thank you, Mark, for what you've shared already. So for me, we're just going to jump right into the scripture. So you guys can go back to Mark 1 and look at verses 35 to 39. I'll read it. It says, "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, 'Everyone is looking for you.' Jesus replied, 'Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come.' So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons." You know, when I think of people that I know, I think of people who I've sat down with, who I've spent time with, had numerous conversations and shared deep personal and sensitive moments in my life with. You know, and as a disciple of Christ, my goal isn't just to live a sinless life or to obtain perfection, but it is to know God. It's to love God, to have a faithful relationship with God, and that he can look back at me in return and say that I'm a woman after his own heart. You know, Jesus is the perfect example of that. You know, he made time to spend with God. He knew God and he could genuinely say that he knew God. You know, we see him numerous times throughout the Bible or throughout the New Testament spending time with God in prayer. You know, he relied on God 100% on his time on earth with everything that he ever did. Partly is because of his mission, right? His mission was to go reconcile the people back to God and to teach them to love God And so then they can say in return, I know him. And even for us today, for us to be able to return and say, I know him. Jesus is the only reason we're able to know God. I think that's amazing, you know, to just know that the only possibility for us to have had a chance with God was through Jesus. You know, looking back at the scripture, it says that Jesus spent solitary time with God. And during that time, he was interrupted by Simon and his other companions as they were looking for him. And so when they go up to Jesus and ask him to come attend to the people, his response is, let us go somewhere else so I can preach there also. That is why I came. That was kind of paraphrased. But Jesus did that because he knew that he wanted all people to know him, all people to have a relationship with him. It wasn't just for this one town, or when we think about ourselves, like it wasn't just for only you or only me to know God. He wanted everyone to know God. So he made that part of his mission, and he taught the disciples to do the same. You know, Jesus went to God to get his standard, you know, to show us how to live and for him to set the example of how to live. You know, we have the standard of our discipleship by going back to the word. You know, I love Psalm 1, verse 1 to 3. I'm not going to read it, but it just talks about being planted. Well, the one who meditates on God's word day and night and delights in him is like a person planted by, or it's like a tree, sorry, planted by a stream, and a tree that yields fruit, and everything that it does prospers. And I really love that analogy, because when you think about a fruitful tree or a thriving tree, you know, it's full of nutrients. Its crops produce nourishment to others, like whether those are people or other living things. You know, trees give us oxygens or fruits and other like homes and nests for different creatures. Like a good tree can provide for so many different needs. But even bringing that back to us being like a tree planted in God's word, you know, how do we spend our time? You know, when you think about your time outside of your schoolwork, how much of that time is spent with God? How much of that time is spent in prayer or in your Bible, just getting to know God? You know, are you planting yourself in God's word? You know, and are you able to help fill others up spiritually because you yourself are being filled up? If you need help with, you know, making your solitary time with God more fun or just more in depth, I have some helpful tips for you. So first, maybe you just got to change your perspective on your time with God. Sometimes it can be, you know, we think of it as a checklist and something just to do rather than, this is my quality time with my Heavenly Father. You know, somebody who cares for me and loves me and has done so much for me. You know, plan quality time with God in your schedule and don't let things get in the way of it. You know, don't make excuses to put other things in front of God because he wouldn't do that for you. You know, he wants to spend that quality time with you. He wants to hear from you. You know, you can read a new spiritual book. It's a good way to learn new things. There's so many different topics out there. If there's something in particular you're looking for, but you may not know exactly how to dive into it in the scriptures, get a book. It can help. Pray to God for more than 30 minutes. You know, practice that. Practice spending time talking to God about anything and everything. Trust me, those 30 minutes can fly by and you're like, wait, I just talked about one segment of my life, you know, or maybe a couple few things, but a lot can be said. Have a reading plan for your quiet times and what you want to study out. You know, it's good to always have a plan, because sometimes when you go in without a plan or empty-minded, you can find yourself just flipping pages or just wondering like, oh, maybe I should do this or maybe I should do that. Like, have a plan ahead of time so that way you know what you're getting yourself into, and it can help you to be more focused. And ask other disciples about how they connect with God personally. Sometimes you need other people's help to help you with new ideas and to think freshly. And lastly, you know, have quiet times with other disciples or other people who are going to help you grow spiritually. You know, in the pandemic, thankfully we have Zoom. I know some of us are tired of it, but it can really be used to our advantage right now, you know, to spend time with people, hearing what they learned, hearing their own convictions, hearing what God has shown them, and just you using that to fill up each other. You know, we've been given a great opportunity to know God. Like, do you see that? And is that a priority for you? Or is it just that you want to take God's blessings and continue living on your life as you please and giving God your bare minimum? You know, when I think of discipleship, and I'm sure I'm not the only one that thinks this way sometimes, but, you know, I can think of it as just a bunch of rules. I think about, oh, I shouldn't sin like this, or I shouldn't cheat, I shouldn't lie, I shouldn't steal, or I got to be at church at this time, or I got to do this, I got to do that. But it's not about that. You know, if we're not careful, or for me personally, if I'm not careful, you know, I can slip into that mind of just wanting to be obedient just to please other people, rather than making it about knowing God, loving God, and wanting to please God. You know, I have to constantly remind myself that I need to go back to the why. Why is it that I want this relationship with God? Why is it that I set aside time for God? Why do I respect God? Why do I have quality time with God? Why do I make it my mission to teach other people about God? It's because I love God. It's because I desire to know God. And God's done so much for me that all he asks for me is to take what I've learned and share it with others so they can have a chance to know God. I love Paul when he says in Philippians 3:10, I'll just read it quickly. It says, I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. You know, it's not always easy doing that, like participating in Jesus's sufferings or denying myself or, you know, not giving in to temptations or sins or anything like that. And the guilty soul in me will like battle with feeling like I'm not enough or I'm not worthy to know God because I sin or because I make mistakes, you know, and it can just seem so untouchable when I'm bottled down with all these things. But that's part of the risk of love. Even the part of the risk that Jesus took to love me and to love you, because he did it for a maybe, you know, he did it for you to maybe come to church on Sundays or to maybe pick up your Bible, to maybe make the decision to make Jesus Lord of your life. He didn't do it for a promise, you know, he did it because he wanted you to know that you have a chance to know him and to love him. You know, think about a relationship close to you, whether it's your best friend, your parents, your siblings, a boyfriend, a girlfriend, whoever, you know, whoever comes to mind. You know, why do you put up with them? Why do you put up with their mess? Why do you waste your time or your money? Or why do you make time for them? You know, why do you deal with them? It's probably because you love them. And even though, you know, you can get hurt, or maybe sometimes you can get taken advantage of, but because you love them and are willing to put that risk up, you know, you'll make sacrifices. And it should be the same way with God. You know, the one thing I will say, or in that I've noticed always in my life, whenever I make a sacrifice for God, God always comes through for me, no matter what it is. And just knowing that, making that risk to love God, to know God, to sacrifice that, you know, 10, 15, 30 minutes of your study time to be, you know, in a Bible study or to read my own personal Bible time and all that stuff. Like, it's only going to help me to love God and know God more. You know, I want to give you guys a question that you can answer here in the chat. How do you think that Jesus made people feel when they encountered him? Just anything that comes to mind, any biblical story that you know, or just off the top of your head, like, how do you think Jesus made people feel when they encountered him? Just throw it in the chat. Okay, so he's seen, special, welcomed, loved, inspired, challenged, understood, comforted, healed. Wow, this is a lot. Accepted, empowered, hopeful, validated, convicted. These are great. And there's so much more. I'm sure you guys can keep on going with this. With new, amazed, made people feel like their voices were heard. This is great. You know, thanks for sharing some of those things. You know, but you can make it personal to yourself. You know, think back to what draws you closer to Jesus. Maybe it's because he made you feel some of these things. Maybe he has made you feel seen or loved, or maybe not abandoned or comforted, made you feel courageous or at peace, you know, gave you hope, anything like that. You know, hold on to that. Hold on to those things that you love about Jesus. And my challenge to you is to take it and share it with somebody who doesn't know God. Help someone to know God by sharing how you've learned how to know God, by just drawing nearer to him in your word, in his word. You know, take that time to strive deeper and to continue to make him known. But thank you for letting me share. I'll pass it back to you, Mark.
Amen. Thank you, Chelsea. That was awesome. Killed it. And I love seeing in the chat what you guys put here. That was super helpful. And man, some of those, I feel like we can make like a little poster out of, or like a word collage, but thank you so much. And, you know, I think even just looking at these words in the chat, I think really what they all come from, or the source of all those characteristics and words, is love, is God and who he is. He's full of love. He's full of grace and truth. And, you know, we're going to kind of come in for a landing here and have some time of discussion. But just to close out our lesson here, I think, you know, when I sat down and was writing this lesson and thinking about it, you know, I had to kind of ask myself, what do I just love about Jesus? You know, what draws me to Jesus? And I realized that what I love about Jesus is that he is love, that Jesus was the human embodiment of love, that God is love. You know, guys, Jesus did a lot of amazing things. He left people amazed. Jesus forged leaders that could forge leaders. He walked on water. He had all the power. But what I love the most about Jesus is that he submitted his power and authority. He didn't want to go and die, but he didn't call down those 10,000 angels. He let us kill him. He died on that cross for you and me. And that's what changes me, is that fact in reality. That's what honestly stumps me. It's his love that gravitates me towards him. You know, I love all the cross studies that I've been in my life. And there's always kind of that moment where the guy will just say, yeah, but why me? Like, why do you do this for me? And is this too good to be true? And I just want to encourage you that's always our aim with our relationship with God, is just that feeling of, are you serious, God? Like, are you kidding me? You love me that way? You know, we should leave our times in the Word of God being like, man, I am honored to be a part of the people of Christ, that Yahweh, the Creator, got into our skin and our world. He took on our sin. He bled and died and rose. This is like, this happened, guys. He died. It was seen, and he rose, and it was seen as well. And why did he do that? Was it because of good things we've done? No. It's just because he loves us. He loves you and me. That's it. And also, obviously, in the hope that we would respond by following him. And so it's such an honor to be people of Christ. But again, I want to ask you, do you know the King? The King of Kings. Do you know him? You know, we're followers of Jesus. That's what we've committed our lives to. But I just want to ask you, if you haven't yet decided to follow Jesus, just want to ask you, what are you waiting for? You know, what does the world have that is so good that you're not letting go of? What is better than Jesus? And so, again, I just want to remind us tonight that we are not a people who merely represent our hobbies, our universities, our careers, or even our cultures. But first and foremost, we're a people who represent Christ, the people of Christ. That is our central identity, and the world needs us to know him so we can be excited to share him. We got to know him before we can share him and how good he is. And so the world may offer solutions to brokenness and lostness, but there is no one like Jesus. There's no one like Jesus. You know, there's a line in the song, I Know Him, from Hamilton. It says, oceans rise, empires fall, but next to Jesus, they all look small. It doesn't say Jesus, says Washington, but, you know, it's a sermon. So that's true about Jesus, is all these things in the world, they're small. They're minuscule compared to Jesus and his power. So I just want to encourage us to really strive to be a people that can say about Jesus, and that you guys can say, I know him. Amen. So that's our lesson for tonight. And, you know, again, we really appreciate you guys